radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County, and we want to welcome you to CB Radio Day right here on the Refresh Radio program, 10-4 Good Buddy. I don't know if anybody else out there was old enough to have had a CB radio, but I did. My dad did a lot of driving, and we had paper routes, and we'd communicate with one another. That was back before cell phones and things like that. And so, in case you are wondering, you probably weren't, but I'm going to tell you anyway. My handle on the CB radio was Harpo, because of the blonde curly hair that I had. Looked an awful lot like him, and so that goes back a ways, and we'll just leave it at that today, shall we? So this is the week of the offering here on WMIE. The phone number for the radio station is 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. And I think that I heard that the goal was something like $37,000 or something like that for 6 months. Not a huge financial number. It ought to be something that the saints in Brevard County can accomplish rather easily, since we serve Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides and the God who is never in an economic downturn, the God whose economy is always running at supernatural blessing levels. We ought to be able to accomplish that, and we would love for the Refresh radio listeners to be a part of that. And so if you feel led of the Lord, you can call the radio station 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000, and tell them, hey, for the next 6 months, I'm going to be sending in, you know, $10 a month, $20 a month, or I'm going to send in, you know, $100 for the next 6 months total. However you want to do it, don't as if you've got to do the entire $37,000 unless the Lord lays it on your heart. But if he says, you know, I remember one time I was asked to give $20 in a revival. I didn't have $20. I was like 17, 18 years old. $20 was a lot of money, and I didn't have it. But if you do what you can, what God asks you to, you never have to feel bad about doing what God has asked you to do, because that's called obedience. That's called obedience. So we would love for you to help the radio station reach that goal in an early, early manner. So today we're going to go back to Acts chapter 15. We're going to begin reading at Acts chapter 15, verse number 1. And we're going to work through this problem that has arisen because the church has come to realize that there's spiritual truth that God does not show partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. That was Acts chapter 10, verse number 34. So here we go, Acts chapter 15, and it says, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." So on yesterday's program, we had got to the place where they were being sent back to the leadership there in Jerusalem, but the regions that they passed through, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. Okay? So there's that word means there's change. There was something, the input that came in has changed, and now the output of their life is different. And so, you know, a lot of times we think that all we've got to do is get someone to say a prayer. I believe that when that happens, that there is going to be a change in the person's life. And so this word conversion, it's the conversion, and listen to what it says, "And they caused great joy to all the brethren." Listen, I believe that when people are getting saved in a church, that there's going to be an outbreak of joy. If there's not an outbreak of joy, then there may be a problem with the people who have been saved so long that they've forgotten what a relief it is when the burden of sin is removed from one's life. You know, Jesus said that the angels of heaven rejoice when one person gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, when they become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we restrict our focus to our small little confine, then we may not realize that around the globe that there are people being saved every single day in the tens of the thousands. And so heaven has a party that is going on almost every, or nonstop. It's a nonstop celebration of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I tell people, don't ever forget where God brought you from. Because the God who brought you out and brought you into faith is the same God who's bringing people out in this day and time and bringing them into faith as well. So what we need in churches is more people getting saved. That means we need more people who are willing to talk to unbelievers. That means we need people who are willing to say yes to God's plan in their life. And so celebrate. If there's someone that gives their heart to Jesus, celebrate. It is truly a remarkable and glorious event, and we need to treat it as such. Verse number 4, "And when they came to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done." And here it is again. We talked about it earlier, is that they reported all things that God had done with them. That's the same words, the same sequence of words as in verse number 27 of chapter 14. Now, I've got a history that whenever something remarkable is going on in my life, I want to tell everybody. I want to tell everybody. So there was a glorious season in my life, and I was telling everybody about the wave of refreshing that God had sent into my spirit, and it just kept going on and on. Well, it wasn't an event. It was a glorious season in my life. And after a while, my wife said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I said, great. What for? She said, that you get a new testimony. and I think we need new testimonies, but I think we also need to remember and celebrate what God has done. And so they not only told the people in Antioch all that God had done with them, but now they're reporting it in Phoenicia, they're reported it in Samaria, and now they're reporting it to the apostles and the elders and the church at large. All the things that God had done with them. Now, you need to remember that at one point in time, Saul was considered too hot to handle. They didn't know what to do with him because of his previous role as a persecutor of the church. But now he and Barnabas are there testifying about everything that God had done. And now the church is going to have an opportunity to respond. I want you to know that I'm not just called to celebrate the great things that God does with me. I'm not just called to celebrate the great things that God does with Merit Assembly of God or with the Assemblies of God at large. I'm here to celebrate with what God does with any believer, any breakthrough that they have. I think it's very, very important that we rejoice with those who rejoice. So Saul and Barnabas report all that God has done with them, but there was another group of people that were there on that particular occasion. So they're calling him Paul at this point in time, so we'll call him Paul. And so the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying it's necessary to circumcise them, to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, if you do not know this, I'll give you just a little bit of background on the Sadducees and the Pharisees. There were two different factions in the religious leadership of Jewish worship at that time. The Sadducees did not believe in the supernatural. And there's an old joke from my years in Bible college that the Sadducees didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in the angels. They didn't believe in miracles. And that's why they were sad. You see? That's a bad joke, which causes me to want to tell you this. When does a joke become a dad joke? And the answer is when it becomes apparent. Ba-dum-bum. So anyway, there were Sadducees. They didn't believe in the miracles. The Pharisees did believe in angels, did believe in miracles and the supernatural. They did believe in that. Paul would later use those two different belief systems to get out of a sticky situation. But the Pharisees were so legalistic that they had rules upon rules upon rules upon rules. The Sadducees really didn't even believe in a resurrection. They were very non-conforming to the word of God. They held political influence in the religious arena, but it was more cultural influence. It really wasn't theological application. They really didn't hold to the word of God. The Pharisees held to the word of God, and at times they would set aside to the word of God to even raise a higher standard than the word of God. Look, God knows exactly the standard that he wants to put into place. And so the Pharisees some of them had become believers, and that's fantastic. But they still had that cultural stronghold that was in their life. I read a book one time, and it was called, it had something about this in the title. I don't remember the entirety of the title, but it was titled something like A Pharisee-ectomy, Getting the Pharisee Out of Your Life. And so the Pharisees were the ones that traditionally put so many rules and restrictions on people that it sapped all the joy out of their serving of God. There was we're the people that really know how you should be serving God, but you're not as good as we are, and so until you are as good as we are, then we're going to continue to let you know how inferior you are. So that was kind of the mindset, and for these people who had believed, they said, these new believers, they've got to be circumcised, and we need to command them to keep the law of Moses. And like I said before, I do believe that there is supposed to be a cultural difference in the life we live after we become a believer. That doesn't mean that we abandon the Word of God, but these people were struggling with the grace of God. They were just struggling, okay, how does the new covenant fit in with the old covenant? Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, and we'll talk more about that as we get along. In verse number 6, Acts chapter 15, verse number 6, it says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Okay? Remember, just because the first person that spoke and presented their case was great, doesn't mean that theirs is necessarily right. Neither does it mean that the second person is necessarily right. You've got to weigh the things that have been said and see how they line up with the Word of God. And so they come together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, so I can imagine that debate was what I would call intense fellowship. You know, where you're in a relationship, but there's something that needs to be settled, and both sides have a point of view, and you've got to come out and say, okay, I've got my point of view, you've got your point of view, what is God's point of view? And so that's just a term that I came up with to describe some moments in my life where there were moments of intense fellowship. And Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren. Okay, now I want you to see, he identifies that there's a relationship there. I believe that if we're going to resolve issues, that it should be done with a foundation of relationship. I've got a relationship with God. You've got a relationship with God. I've got a relationship with the Word of God. You've got a relationship with the Word of God. And we have a relationship with one another. We want God's solution. We want God's perspective. We want God's answer. That is what the goal is. So, men and brethren, and then he starts with what they know. You know that a good while ago, God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And believe. When Simon the sorcerer, that's also in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an amazing, amazing book. I had a pastor one time, and he said, I read the book of Acts every month because I believe it is the greatest church growth book out there. And so Simon the sorcerer had been very influential in a town. The gospel came to his city. It's in Acts chapter 8. And I just want to point out to you how Simon responded. Okay, this is Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed, the people believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Now, look at this. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So Simon was a believer. He had been baptized. Verse number 14 of Acts chapter 8 says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." Look at what Simon's response is. This person who had believed and had been baptized, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Okay? That particular mindset is called simony, S-I-M-O-N-Y, where you think that you can buy the gift of God with your resources. Simon, who had believed, had been baptized, he is now coveting something that he sees in the apostles. And Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." Did you know that you could be a believer, that you could be baptized, and you could have a stronghold in your life that your heart is not right with God? Okay? Verse number 22. What do you do in that situation? "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Okay? So there is the reality. He could not enjoy what God was doing in other people's lives because of the problem that he had. He was filled with bitterness and he was poisoned or bound by his iniquity. Poisoned by bitterness and bound by his iniquity. Bitterness is a very, very dangerous thing. Okay? And so believing is important. The word of God being received is important. But has it changed your heart? Has it changed your heart? Has it reached the place that you say, "You know what? I'm no longer bitter." Did you know that just from a communication standpoint, that if something bad happens to an individual, they tell 10 people? These were statistics some time back. I doubt that they've fluctuated much. In fact, they may even be more lopsided now due to social media. Pre-social media, they would tell 10 people if something bad happened to them. They'd only tell 3 people if something good happened to them. So we are much more programmed, if you will, wired to communicate the bad things instead of the good things. Simon had, you know, put his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, even been baptized, but his loss of prestige, his loss of influence was causing him to be in bitterness, and he did not realize that he was still bound in his sin. But good news is that if you find yourself in that situation, the solution is to repent. It's not a hopeless situation. It's simply a situation where you need to repent and allow God to make your heart right. Our hearts have got to be right with God. And if, you know, you are already post midlife, let me encourage you in this way. That means it's more urgent than ever for you and I to make sure that our hearts are right. So whenever I am dealing with a point of conflict, one of the things that I pray is, God, I want you to take Bob out of this situation. Not that I'm not having to deal with it. I want to take the carnal Bob. I want to take the strongholds of Bob. I want to take the emotions of Bob. I want to lay all of those at the feet of Jesus, because I want to deal with the problem at hand with the Spirit of God and the heart of God. And that's very, very important. And so whatever you do, if you don't hear anything else that I say today, don't let bitterness rule and reign in your life. It is toxic. It's lethal. Don't allow iniquity to keep you bound when Jesus died to set you free. And so Peter is talking to these people, and he says, you know, the Gentiles heard the word of God and they've believed. I believe that there's also a good reason to believe that there was a great deal of transformation that had taken place. That's where we, you know, come up with that, where they talked about the church, the conversion of the believers, in Paul and Barnabas's missionary journey. If you've got something that is going on in your life today, don't let that problem, you know, steal from you the joy of the Lord. Hey, we're here, second day of the fall offering here on WMIE. I pray that you will be an active participant in this ministry, not just an observer. Give them a call, 321-632-1000. Tell them you heard about it on the Refresh Radio program and you want in for the next 6 months. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing on Jesus Christ, the risen one. Jesus, did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing on Jesus Christ, the saving one. can see the